Well, I appreciate your prayers this morning. It's a very comforting thought to know that the Lord is with us in the sunshine and in the shadow. I don't know that we rely so much on it in the sunshine as much as we do in the shadow, of course. But we need them every time, you know. It's just when everything's going really great and it's sunny outside and the birds are chirping, and sometimes it can be challenging to remember that we need the Lord in those times as well. What does confidence mean to you? I was thinking about confidence, and you might think of somebody that's I don't know.
Trust.
Yeah, you think of a person that's confident, you know, it's like nothing fazes them almost, you know, they're just ready to face the world, and they have security, you know, strength of mind. But what do they have confidence in? You know, trust, hope. What I put it is putting trust in something with the hope of results.
Yes.
What do people normally put trust in or the confidence in? Let's look at Isaiah 30 real quick. Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. So, I'm not sure if this is the exact time when the children of Israel went to Jeremiah and asked him to inquire of the Lord about whether or not they should go into Egypt. But this is an instance where they were determining that they wanted to go to Egypt. Because somehow they felt like if they could just get into Egypt, that they'd be safe. They'd be secure. They, you know, Egypt, I guess, was maybe a strong country at the time. Maybe had a large army or many soldiers or whatever the reason. Israel had in their minds that they can have confidence in Egypt. And being able to go there to be safe. And the Lord is telling them that in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But he said, in returning and rest. So the Lord was telling them that where they needed to be was in Israel, not in Egypt. And in the scenario where the children of Israel went to Jeremiah, he said, yeah, I'll inquire the Lord for you. And what the Lord tells me, I'll tell you. And so he came, I think it was after 10 days or so, and he gave them the message. The Lord has said to stay put, to stay where you are, and he'll protect you. He'll be a Lord and a God unto you. And they said, oh no, the Lord had not said that. They refused to hear the message. But the Lord's message to them was to stay and rest. And basically, he was telling them that they needed to have a quiet confidence in him. And I think that sometimes in our lives, that is maybe one of the more difficult things for us to do, is place our trust and our confidence in God. I think one of the things that we tend to put confidence in is our strength, right? Maybe a young man for sure, you know, he's got all this power and strength and ability to run fast or lift heavy weights. And, you know, we can get so confident in our abilities to meet tasks or meet obstacles that come in our way and get to where we trust or have confidence in our own abilities, strength-wise, to overcome the obstacles that we face. But Are we always strong? That young man that's strong maybe at 20, how strong is he at 60 or 70? You know, the strength of this carnal flesh fades away. It's not always going to be there. And not only that, it's not always equipped or capable to meet the challenges that we face in life. You can be as strong as you want to be, but you come up against some obstacles in your life, and it's not going to be enough for you. I was thinking of Samson. I mean, you can argue that he was the strongest man that there ever was. And essentially, he had his strength from birth. I mean, the Lord blessed him, and his parents treated him in the way that the Lord had instructed them to do. And he was a powerful man. But I wonder if he didn't forget where his strength really came from. You know, maybe he got a little overconfident in himself. And, you know, there's instant after instance where he wakes up and he's shaking the enemy off and he's beating everybody and he's slaying 1,000 men. And, you know, nothing was able to really defeat him. In Judges 14:6, it says, "And he said unto them, out of the eater came." Hang on. Judges 14:6 is not the one I'm looking for, but it says the verse that I'm looking for is where it says that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. It is 6. Sorry. "And he rent him as he would have rent a kid." This is when he slayed the lion. "And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done." And if we read in the scriptures over and over and over again, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord was upon him." Now, in the instance where he was defeated, or they were actually able to bind him and to capture him, and it says that they poked his eyes out, what happened? It was because the Lord had departed from him. And so I really believe that Samson failed to remember where his strength and where his power really lied in his life. And he got so used to depending on his own strength and his own brawn to defeat the enemy and to overcome battles. And he got overconfident, essentially. You know, I was thinking about it. The instructions the Lord gave his parents, you know, I think it was not to eat anything of the vine and not to touch anything dead and not to cut his hair. You know, that hair was not his strength. Even though he said, "Well, if you cut my hair, then I'll lose my strength." You know that that wasn't his strength. His strength was the Lord. And that hair was a symbol of his obedience unto God. Yes. And his consecration unto the Lord. And that's where his source of strength was at. It was in God. But so often we, in our human minds, rely heavily upon our own strength and our own ability to overcome the challenges that we face in life, and think that if we're just strong enough, if we can just have enough might or willpower, if you will, you know that it doesn't. There's not enough willpower to overcome sin in your life. There's not enough physical strength or intellect for you to be able to overcome sin in your life. It's only by the Lord. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he gave that you can overcome sin in your life. Zechariah says, "Not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." And so what else would a person maybe have confidence in? Have you ever seen the confidence that people have when they have a whole bunch of money? Maybe they can just throw bills at things, and it seems like there's no problem too big that they can't just buy their way out of it, and or you know, throw a bunch of money at that problem. And you know that money is fleeting. Just as easily as it comes, it could easily go. And you know, there's been many a people that had more money than they could ever spend in their lives, but they ran into things that they could not overcome with their money, that they couldn't buy their way out of it. They couldn't pay enough money. I was thinking of, I think it was Steve Jobs maybe. I mean, billionaire, billions and billions of dollars, but he got sick. And not a dime of it was worth it to him, because he couldn't heal his own sickness. He couldn't deliver himself. And so do we have confidence in our wealth and our ability to maybe buy our way through life? 1 Timothy 6 and 17 says, let me read it before I butcher it. 1 Timothy 6 and 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. We don't need to trust or have confidence in our flesh. We don't need to have confidence in our ability to pay for things, or to our wealth, if you will. How about our intellect? Should we have confidence in our smarts? You know, I think this is one of the things that people have way too much confidence in, is their ability to think through problems, or to problem solve, if you will. I don't know about you, but for me, it's something that I have to battle a lot, and that I want to trust the Lord. Amen. I want to do what He knows is best. And the reality is the smartest person in the world cannot answer every problem. Amen. He cannot come up with the solution for everything in life. Why is that? For one, he's limited in his understanding. Because as smart as he is, he does not know everything. He does not know what is to come. He does not know the obstacles that he's going to have to face in the future. He can't even grasp the things that are possible that he could have to face. Only God really has that kind of information. And yet we go through life, and I think of the scripture where it says, and everyone did what was right in their own minds. And I think to myself, that is a confidence in themselves. And I think of the statement that I hear so often. I think this, or I think that, or I think that God is this way, or I think that God is that way. And is that really a firm foundation to stand on? What I think? For anybody to say that. For anybody to say that the life that they're living and the stance that they're standing on is because of what they think about everything, is that a firm foundation for us to stand on? I would have to say no. Because I've thought a lot of things. I thought a lot of things that were right, or I thought a lot of situations that if I did this or did that, that it would turn out great. And I'll tell you what, I was wrong a lot. And I believe that is true for so many people too, that they think things, but they're not necessarily on solid ground. It only matters really what God says. It's not about what I think. It's about what God says and what He knows. Proverbs 14 and 12. Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Do you believe that? Because I think a lot of times people contradict that belief and continue to do the way that seems right in their own eyes. It's like the scripture said, they all did what was right in their own eyes or based on what they thought was good or what they thought was appropriate. Have you ever prayed in a way that, Lord, I need you to do this and I need you to do that and it has to go this way and you know, you're basically giving him all the details about how you want him to answer your prayer? Whose confidence are you in? Are you trusting in? Or who are you having confidence in that? Is that confidence in God? Or is it confidence in your own intellect and what you think is supposed to happen? Or what you think is the best result of what could happen? Do we trust in ourselves too much? Do we trust in others too much? You know, sometimes I think that we can get ourselves into trouble or into problems and we're at a loss maybe of what we can do. But oftentimes I think we'll go to maybe that rich person that we know, or maybe we'll go to that strong person that we know, or maybe that smartest person that we know, right? And try to get answers run it by them or get counsel or advice. But the reality is every one of them is in the same boat as you. We all need the Lord. We all need to have confidence in God. If we're gonna make it to our ultimate goal, heaven, then we're going to need to have to trust the Lord and have confidence in Him. Because the path there is one that all these things are not going to get you there. Being the smartest or being the strongest or being the richest is not going to get you there. You have obstacles that you're going to face on your path to heaven that none of these will touch. And it was shared with us a little bit this morning in Sunday school where you can run up against a thing that you know will hinder you or possibly defeat you if you don't get the help that you need. And the only help that there is for that is God. You know, I believe somebody else mentioned something too about it, is that we wish that we hadn't exercised all of our options first and then trusted the Lord. But there are things that we face that there's no doubt about it. This is God's, right? This is too big for me. This is too much for me. This has to be the Lord's. But you know, everything has to be God's. Every decision, every choice that we make needs to be His, really. And it's not that He doesn't allow us to do things or to have input or to allow us to make decisions for ourselves, but ultimately every decision that we make, everything that we do in our lives needs to surround Him, be around Him. He's the center of it all. If anything is going to go against the center of it, then it ought not to happen. It's not we're in the center and God is you know, somewhere around the outside. But He has to be the center point of it all if we're going to have success in our lives. We've got to have confidence in God. You know, I think about, well, before we do that, Psalms 118. Psalms 118 and 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You know, I've had situations in my life where there were people that could maybe make or break a situation for me, if you will. But rather than relying on them, and rather than relying on their decisions or what they're able to do, I really feel like the Lord has blessed me to just trust Him and just wait on Him and allow Him to do what He wants to do. And the reason why I believe that's valuable to us is that we don't know what we're gaining in the process. We don't know what kind of spiritual growth or maturity we're getting through the process. You know, for us, the intellectual thing to do would be to just eliminate all issues, eliminate all problems, eliminate them all immediately. But that's not always the wise thing for God in our lives. I thought about how the children of Israel went into the land of promise, and it says the Lord didn't just eradicate everything before them. But they had to battle. They had to fight. They had to overcome ground. And He gave them victory. The soles of their feet touched. He was giving it unto them. But it says that He didn't just wipe it all out and make it a clean place for them to walk in. But I believe that those battles and those things that they faced and those victories that they won was all part of it. It was part of God's plan. And it is the same for us, that the Lord is working things in our lives for our benefit and for our spiritual strength and growth. And it's not necessarily beneficial for us to eradicate all of them. You know, I was thinking about, you know, for us, we would think of for the example of Egypt, as a good idea. Right? Let's go to Egypt. They're strong. We can join forces and we'll be much stronger and we'll be able to overcome a larger enemy because of it. And it just all makes sense, right? But what about Gideon? He didn't have a big enough army to begin with. And yet God tells him, I want you to cut it down. I want you to half this army, and then I want you to cut it again and make it almost, I think it was like a tenth of the half. It didn't make sense. But that's where his victory lied. And there was no doubt about who brought the victory in that battle. It was God. God who delivered. God who gave the victory. And I want to go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 12, starting verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. So this was Paul. He had an affliction in his flesh, and he sought the Lord three times, he says, about it. He prayed about it. He sought God about it. Anybody want to question his faith? Anyone want to say that Paul didn't have faith? This man had prayed for people, some crazy situations, and they were healed. He sought the Lord three times, and I'm sure earnestly. And I would never question his faith or his ability to trust God and have faith in God's ability to heal him. But yet the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So he's telling him, look, my grace is sufficient. Yes, I can heal this I can heal you of this. But I'm determining that it's in my best interest to let it stay. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. What does that mean? That means that When we're at a loss, like we've already said, and we've exercised all of our possibilities, and we've spent all of our money, and we've thrown everything that we have at it, we've thrown all of our brawn and all of our intellect, and we've done all that we can do. We've called our neighbors and our friends and everybody else that can help us in this situation, and we're at a loss for what to do. We're at our weakest point. And that's when God says we're at our strongest point. And the reason why is because that's when we introduce Him. We say, Lord, you know, I'm out of options. I've ran it out. I've went through the list. I've come out empty-handed, and I guess I got to come to You. You're my last option. The truth is that He can be the first option for us. But oftentimes, myself included, oftentimes we just have a tendency to want to exercise our possibilities, to do what we can. I mean, that's kind of just in our makeup in a way to be independent and to try to take care of things ourselves. But God says that we're at our strongest when we're at our weakest. And it's because we're completely and totally surrendered into His hands. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities or in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know that Samson was weak until it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And all of a sudden, this guy is fierce and he's tearing lions apart and beating a thousand men. When we're at our weakest is when we're at our strongest, because we're relying on the power of God to help us. When we are at a loss, a complete loss as to what to do in life and the decisions to make. Lord, I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to make this decision. The best thing that you can do is to allow the Lord to make the decision for you. And I'm not going to tell you that that's necessarily an easy way to come by that. It's going to take prayer. And it's going to take consecration. It's going to take you having the ability to release it unto Him. And allow Him to make a decision that in your flesh or in your mind maybe seems the opposite way of what you think you ought to go. The children of Israel came to Jeremiah. We think we ought to go to Egypt, but we're going to give you an opportunity to ask the Lord about it. But were they really giving God the opportunity to answer the question for them? Were they really giving Him the opportunity to make the decision? Because when He gave them the answer, they didn't want to receive it. And so we got to make sure that we're being consecrated unto the Lord, that when we're giving Him the ability to answer this for us or to give us the counsel that we need, that we're trusting and having enough confidence in Him to accept it as given. But I'll tell you, when we're weak, then we're strong. If we can allow the Lord to make those decisions for us, even when it seems like it's backwards. Gideon, 300 men? Are you serious? You want me to go against these thousands of people with 300 men? It doesn't make any sense. But this is the counsel that God is giving. And his victory lied in it. He had confidence in God. And he went before an army with 300 men. And they chased him away. Because of God. When we're able to introduce God into the decision or bring Him in on it, that is where our strength lies. I was thinking of some examples of this, and obviously we used Samson. But you know what happened? Samson, powerful, right? Cuts his hair up, back into prison. Eyes poked out. Making fun of him, making a spectacle of him, of his weakness. But when he is at his weakest point, what did he do? He prayed unto God. He remembered where his strength lied. And I know it says that his hair grew some more or whatever, but I attribute that to his consecration to God and him recognizing the Lord as Lord of his life. And he said, grant me one more time, Lord, the strength. And once again, the Lord was his strength, and he was able to push the pillars and destroy the enemy. Think of the sick woman. It says that she spent every dime she had and was no better for it. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. And she pressed through the crowd, and she got near enough to be able to touch his garment. And the Lord said, virtue has gone out of me. And the disciples were amazed. They're like, there's all kinds of people touching you. Everybody's crowding around you. What do you mean? No, I know. Virtue has gone out of me. And she was whole. No money could have bought that for her. She tried that. She spent every dime she had. And she would have spent more if she'd have had it. And it doesn't say how much she started with. I guess it doesn't really matter. Because she didn't have any at the end of it. But God was able to meet her need. And the Lord is able to meet every need that we present before Him. You know, I think of Solomon and his wisdom and all the smarts that he had. And yet he did not use the wisdom of God in many aspects of his life. And failed as a result of it. If only he had done what the Lord had told him to do in every aspect of his life. What would rather than them saying, however, he did not live up to David, they might have been saying, however, he did not live up to what Solomon had, you know. When we are weak, then are we strong. I was thinking that if only Solomon had had the vision that Paul had. Paul said in Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. He's going to give him some reasons why maybe he would be confident in his own flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And so he learned not to have confidence in himself and all these resume points, if you will, of why he could have maybe had confidence in himself. But his confidence was in God and what God was able to do. You know, I think about this and... is confidence in God believing Him for a specific result? Would that be considered confidence in God? You know, I mentioned earlier about Paul and how he had the thorn in his flesh and he sought the Lord three times. And I asked you, who would want to say that he didn't have faith? But yet many times we put it on faith and we say, well, if they'd have just had more faith, if they'd have just believed God more, or maybe if they'd have just asked God more, or whatever you want to put on it. Is that confidence in God? Or is that confidence in a result? Is that really confidence in ourselves? In our opinion of things and what we think ought to happen? But when an individual is able to place their confidence in God, they're leaving all kinds of opportunities or possibilities. And their confidence being in God allows it to be such. I remember Sister Cheryl, I don't know, it was a long time ago. And she had just found out that she was, I think she had just maybe found out what she had. She knew she was sick, but, and I remember her having a testimony of how she was trusting the Lord and how she was bringing it before the Lord. And she knew that the Lord could heal her. I really believe that she knew God could heal her. And I believe that she had faith for that. But I believe that she had confidence in God more. I believe that in her life, she developed a confidence in God that she was just resting in the Lord. In quietness and in confidence, resting in God. And to me, that confidence is, Lord, I trust you so immensely that you can do whatever you think is best. You do whatever you think is best. And I'm resting in you and I'm going to be confident in you until the end. It's not confidence in a result. I mean, we could say, well, you got to stand firmer. You got to be stronger. You got to fight for this thing. And are we fighting against God? Are we struggling against Him? And to me, it's not giving up. To rest and be confident in God is not giving up. That's going to another level in it. And realizing how much the Lord loves us, how much He cares about us, how big this thing really is, and that it's not just about a fleeting moment in time, but it's way bigger than that. We're talking about eternity here. Living forever. And being able to get it to a point where you have confidence in God, where you can rest quietly. And I really put it that way for her. Because it seems like that's what she did. Now, I obviously was not around her all the time, but when I was, it was just, she was just resting quietly in her Lord. And in the confidence that she had in Him to take care of her. And that is what God wants us to have. Yes. When we're at our weakest point, when we're at a loss for what to do, we can have our own wisdom about the idea of the thing and think of what we think should happen or what we think ought to happen or how the results that we would have wanted. But to be able to just say, I trust you, Lord. My hope is in you. My confidence is in you. And I know that you do all things well. I know that you don't make mistakes. And I know that you see things that I don't see. And you're working things that I don't even know what you're working. And I'm willing to just rest in you and trust in you and to the end. And I believe that that is where the blessing lies for every one of us. If we can just get to a point where we can have that kind of confidence, not just, you know, the most faith I can work up for a specific outcome, but a faith in God that says that I know who you are, I know your character, I know that anything that comes in my life by your hand is a blessing and a benefit to me. And I'm going to take it as such. And to be able to walk in life with that confidence in God, it's unmatched. And that is our solid foundation. That is our firm place to stand, is when our confidence is in God. Jeremiah 17. And 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That is the blessing that we can have in trusting in the Lord. And I pray that the Lord help me to have all my confidence in Him and to learn how to be quietly resting in the confidence that I have in Him. I appreciate your time and attention this morning.